The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, and technical engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, it's just been a beautiful, beautiful weekend, and just a beautiful, beautiful day. Well, I have two great guests with me today, and I'm so excited because joining me in the studio is Alicia Sanchez, who's the president of the board of directors for KBBF, and she'll be talking about the march and rally that took place on International Women's Day on March 8th. And then joining me on the phone is Martha Wheelock, writer, producer, director, and educator. And her latest film is about the famous suffragette martyr, Inez Milhaun. And just if people aren't familiar with who Inez Milhaun was, is the woman who was on the white horse in the first suffrage parade that they had in New York. Well, March is National Women's History Month, and on Wednesday we had International Women's Day. And just to give you a little background, what is International Women's Day? International Women's Day is a worldwide event that celebrates women's achievements from the political to the social while calling for gender equality. It has been observed since early 1900 and is now recognized each year on March 8. It is not affiliated with any one group, but brings together governments, women's organizations, corporations, and charities. And what was really interesting this year, it was women were staying home from work, weren't buying things, all kinds of things were happening, and we had a wonderful, wonderful gathering here in Sonoma County, and that's what Alicia Sanchez is going to be talking about. And you know, because it's Women's International History Month, as well as International Women's Day, which happened on March 8th. I was talking to a very dear friend of mine by the name of Randy Hurley. And, you know, he made a very interesting suggestion. And he said, how come during International Women's Month that they don't honor one of the greatest ladies in our country? And that's Lady Liberty. And so I've been doing some research, and it was really, really interesting. I found that the saying on the pedestal comes from a poem called The New Colossus by Emma Lazarus, which was written in 1883. And I'm going to read the whole poem, because what happened out of the poem, there's towards the end, you will hear what is on her pedestal. Let me tell you a little bit more about the New Colossus. It's a sonnet that American poet Emma Lazarus, who lived from 1849 to 1887, wrote in 1883 to raise money for the construction of the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty. In 1903, the part of the poem was engraved on a bronze plaque and mounted inside the pedestal's lower level. The plaque on the base of the Statue of Liberty reads, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, the tempest, pass to me. Lift my lamp beside the golden door." These lines are actually from the poem, The New Colossus. So I'm going to read it to you and pay really close attention to some of the words. So here we go. The New Colossus by Emma Lazarus. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, listen to this, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. her mild eyes command. The air bridged harbor that Twin Cities fame. Keep ancient lands your storied pomp, cries she with silent lifts. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, temptest, toast to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Well, that's what my grandmother came across when she came to this country in the early 1900s, when she came into the harbor. And she said when she saw Lady Liberty, she threw herself on the ground and said, I'm free. I'm free. And remember, there was something that I can't remember where it was. I guess it was Dr. Martin Luther King that said, free at last, free at last, free at last. Well, here was my grandmother coming from Poland, third class with her sister, with three loaves of bread. That's what they traveled with to America. And she sees this beautiful statue and she throws herself on the ground. I'm free. I'm free. And also talking about in this poem, it says she's the mother of exiles. And then she says, send these, the homeless. You know, in other words, what she's saying is if you come to these shores, you will be taken care of. You will be loved because this is what freedom. We are Americans. We believe in freedom. We believe in opportunity. There's a lot to think about there. But what's so interesting about this, as I was writing this and as I was, you know, doing and crying about it because of my grandmother and because my own immigrant background, all of a sudden, there's a news flash that comes on. And here's what they say. The lights went out for liberty, or at least that's what it looked like on Tuesday night. I could not believe that the lights, nobody understands why Liberty's lights went out. I mean, it's just amazing to me. But that's what happened. So there's a lot to think about, and I really recommend, excuse me, I really encourage my listeners to go online, read the New Colossus. Think about it, because this is what America stands for. You know, and especially when she says, the wretched refuse of your teeming stores. In other words, bring the people who are the most desperate. And here you will have in these lands a chance for freedom, a chance for opportunity. So that's a lot to think about. I really do. I really do think about it. And I have to admit, I cried quite a bit about it. It was amazing to me. Anyway, on March 8th, it was really interesting. It was, like I said, it was International Women's Day. And women decided that they were going to not go to work and not buy things and just let the people know, let the world know the impact of not having a woman in your life or in your experience. And I know many, many women did that, and I want to do a special shout out to them and say thank you. Thank you for standing up. Thank you for standing up and for your beliefs and recognizing that as a woman that you do have the right to speak. You have the right to stand up, and you have the right to demand to things. And one of the things that I'm demanding is that we all come together and start working a little bit harder to bring peace and understanding to one another. Well, it was really interesting because after the show on Monday night, I went to the Luther Burbank Center. And, you know, I'm really excited when I say the Luther Burbank Center because I just love that name. You know, the center is named after Luther Burbank. And it was the Wells Fargo Center for a while, and now they changed it back to the Luther Burbank Center. And I'm really happy about that. Well, I had the honor of going to the Gloria Steinem event, and it was amazing. You know, Gloria Steinem is the founder of Miss Magazine, and also she's been an activist for probably 50 years now. She's 82 years old, and just very, very gentle. Very gentle spirit. And she got up on the stage and she says, look, I'm just going to talk for a half hour. And then afterwards, I want to open it up for questions. I want to open the mics up for questions and answers and comments. And if you have an event you want to announce, that's fine too. And I thought that was really gracious of her because, you know, it's more important that we listen and hear one another rather than be lectured to all the time. You know, this is who I am. This is the book I wrote. But she wanted to know about us. She wanted to know what was going on our community, and I really respected that. Well, the first, when they opened the mic, the first woman that came up, which I thought was adorable, she gave Gloria Steinem a pussy hat. It was, I mean, I just loved it. I mean, everybody just applauded. It was such an inspiring moment. Then another woman, a young woman, got up and talked about how she's excited about learning more about women's history, learning more about Miss Magazine, and learning more about Gloria Steinem. And then I made a comment, and I also announced about what's going on next Wednesday, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. And then I sat down, and then suddenly this woman got up, and she said, I can't remember what her name was, but she said, I could not go to the Women's March because I am pro-life. And you could have heard a pin drop in there. And I feel bad. Do you have any suggestions? And Gloria Steinem was really very, very gracious when she said, well, you know, we're all pro-life. She says, well, all of us in this room are pro-life. And she asked the group, aren't you pro-life? And everybody, of course, agreed. She says, but the question that we have and the thing that we cannot understand as women is why another body of women want the government to control our bodies. That's the issue here. I was stunned, not only by the question, by the answer. And suddenly I saw this huge divide among women. Because we're all talking about pro-life. All of us. I believe, oh my goodness, pro-life, of course. You know, and I have said this over and over and over again. I am not for or against abortion. I am for choice. The Great Spirit gave me this body. I have a right to determine what I'm going to do with it. Also, the Great Spirit gave me the ability to have children. If I can't bring that child into the world and give it all that it needs, then I have to make that decision. You cannot make it for me. You cannot live in my body. You cannot live with my conscience. And also I was thinking about, if there is a God that's going to punish that woman because she's having an abortion, I don't think that we have to have the government protecting her from that God. I think that she has to deal with that herself. And I respect each and every woman enough to know that when they make that decision, I never knew anybody that had an abortion that said, hey, I'm going down to have an abortion. I'm all excited. It's usually a very emotional, long, drawn out, painful decision. I'm not saying that's 100%. I mean, I'm sure there are some women out there that, you know, an abortion means nothing to them. And that's fine. That's their choice. But there are others who take it a little bit more seriously, and we have to respect all levels of it. But the most important thing, that is women, we have a choice. We have a choice with what we want to do. And it's amazing when I began to think about, here, this woman feels that she can't participate because she's pro-life. She doesn't understand what pro-life really means because we're all pro-life. And then there's this other woman who's racked with guilt because all this stuff coming, that they're baby killers and all this other stuff that happened around the abortion issue. So it's very important, and I saw it at that moment, it's very important that women come together and they have a better way of doing what they're doing and coming together and appreciate each other's skills and all that other good stuff. Anyway, that's a lot to chew on. That's a lot to think about. But, you know, that's what Women's Spaces is all about. It's all about thinking. It's all about processing. And it's all about understanding what's going on in the world. Well, I have a few announcements. Okay, the first announcement I have is I just found out that on March 18th, by the way, that's going to be my birthday. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to be 77 years. Happy birthday, Elaine. Anyway, my birthday is March 18th. But they're having at the Carpenters Hall at 1700 Corby Avenue in Santa Rosa, they're having a special forum on immigration rights. It's going to be happening from noon to 4. And I encourage people to come on down, even if you're not an immigrant, to learn about it so you can help if you have a friend that's in that kind of situation. So that's going to be Saturday, March 18th, from noon to 4 p.m. at the Carpenters Hall at 1700 Corby Avenue in Santa Rosa. The next thing that's coming up that I am just thrilled about is on Wednesday, March 22nd, also at the Carpenters Hall. I want to do a special shout out to our president, Alicia Sanchez, who is going to be supporting the event with me and with now, and thank her so much for arranging for the Carpenters Hall. That's going to be happening Wednesday, March 22nd, 2017 at 1700 Corby Avenue. That's the Carpenters Union Hall in Santa Rosa from 4 to 6 p.m. And what's going to be happening is going to be a discussion, Women in Politics, featuring Sonoma County Board of Supervisors, Susan Gorin, Linda Hopkins, and Shirley Zane. And, you know, this is the first time in 166 years that the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors has a majority of women. I mean, it is really exciting to me. I mean, I'm just thrilled about it. And I want to do a shout out to all the boards of supervisors that they are willing to come out and to meet and greet the women in the community. I mean, everybody's welcome. So remember, March 22nd from 4 to 6, that's this next Wednesday at the Carpenters Hall. And I will be talking about it again next week. But I'm really, really excited about that. Well, lots to think about. Lots to think about. You know, and there's so much going on in the world today, and one of the things that Ken and I have decided to do, and that is that everywhere we are is a sacred space, and everybody we meet has a contribution to make, and we have to really think about that. You know, it's time, you know, there's a song, come on, people, smile on your brother, let's get together. That's what we have to do. We have to come together, and we have to stop judging one another. We have to say, oh, this is a Mexican, this is a Jew, this is white, this is black. I mean, what difference does it make? We're all human beings living on a planet trying to survive. And I really believe at this venue that we're having National Women's History Month, I really put a lot of emphasis to women on this because we are the ones that bring forward the children. We're the ones who talk to the children, who read to the children, who bring forth all the ideas. And we need to let people know that we're all really okay. You know, it's just the color of our skin or the way our voice sounds. Or, you know, we're human beings. Put a zipper at our forehead and bring it down and look inside, and guess what? We all have the same thing. Well, that's a lot to chew in, and right now we're going to take a musical break. And the song I'm going to be playing is another one of my favorite songs. You know, I really believe that Michael Jackson was a genius. I mean, after he passed away and I start looking at his music and what he wrote, I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude that he brought these beautiful songs forward. And the song I'm going to play is, I think, is very important for today's world. It's called Heal the World. And it's sung by a woman by the name of Connie Talbot. It's just a beautiful song. And it lets us know that we're all in this together. So here we go. Michael Jackson's song sung by Connie Talbot, Heal the World. And when we return, I will be talking with a dear friend and the president here at KBBF, Alicia Sanchez, and we are going to be talking about the Women's March and all the different things that went in good old downtown Santa Rosa. So here we go, Heal the World.
We can heal the world and make it a better place. There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love, and this place could be much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you'll feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for living. Make a little space, make a better place. Heal the Do you know why? There's a love that cannot lie. Love is strong. It only cares for joy, forgiving. If we try, we shall see. In this bliss we cannot feel. Fear or dread, we stop existing and start living. Then it feels that always love's enough for us growing. Make a better world. It's plain to see this world is heavenly. Be God's love.
Yes, heal the world. And I want to dedicate that song to all the people who are out there standing up for freedom and for the immigration rights and all the things that are going on today. And a special shout out to all my brothers and sisters who made the trip to come to America and to be here and to help build us into the nation it is. And we have to start thinking about that, and we have to start coming together. Anyway, for you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and without further ado, I want to introduce my next guest, who is also a deep personal friend and who's president of our station here at KBBF, Alicia Sanchez. Welcome, Alicia. Welcome
Thank
to Women's
Thank you so much, Week. Elaine. Thank you very, very much. It's nice being here.
I am so excited to have you on. And you know, with Women's National Women's History Month and International Women's Days and all the things that are going on, I'm just so happy that we can sit and have a discussion. And before we begin, can I tell our listeners just a little bit about you?
Okay.
Well, Alicia Sanchez is the president of the board of directors for KBBF and has worked for years as a union organizer. There is so much to say about Alicia, but I think this sums it all. In March of 2016, Alicia Sanchez was listed, listen to this, as one of the 24 women who formed the North Coast and was honored for her continuing efforts to improve the lives of immigrant laborers. Wow. One of 24 women who has formed the North Coast. What an honor. A lot of work and a lot of courage under your belt. So welcome. Anything else you'd like to add about yourself, Alicia?
No, other than I am here, a volunteer at the best radio station in the world. Of course, it is the first bilingual community radio station in the United States. And to think that it was born right here in 1973, here in Little Santa Rosa. It used to be Little Santa Rosa, not anymore.
Well, actually, you know, what's really interesting about KBBF and also the women's movement is the National Women's History Month was also born at Sonoma State, and so was KBBF.
Exactly. Sonoma State, well, where you were there, you went to Sonoma State, you, Elaine, and also we have Joanna here at one of our volunteers. She was actually one of the first volunteers for KBBF. She used to be with in Chicano Studies with Guido Prado and his wife, and they ended up being Guido Prado is one of the founders. There was a group of students here from Sonoma State. So, you know, we as powerful women, we are coming from all over here.
Oh, no, it's amazing. Well, you know, Alicia, you attended the march on Wednesday, March 8th, which was part of Women's International Day, which has been going on since 1900. So that means that we've had 117 years of, no, wait a minute, 117 years celebrating this thing. So what motivates you and what inspired you to attend the rally and the march? And how many women do you think were there?
Let me just say that there were, for me, even 400, 500. The reason I was is that there was a stream of people coming in since it was held at 12 noon. People coming in like during their lunch hour and then leaving and staying on and everything. And it included men too there. And it was beautiful because it was like an ocean of red because we were asked to wear red.
Do you know why they asked?
I think probably, I don't know. For me, I'm a union organizer and red is one of the, red and black are usually the symbols of us when we're out on strike. And so maybe, I don't know, because that day, it was supposed to be a day without women. You know, and we were asked not to go shopping, not to, you know, to really, if you were able to get out of work, not to go to work that day. And in many places, people, you know, closed their business down or just canceled, you know, classes for that day so that they didn't have to go to work. And so it was very inspirational in that sense. Of course, it wasn't as big as in January 21st when we had over 8,000 people present. You know, for the rally that we have, Women's March.
Well, you know, for me, as a daughter of a union man, you know, and understanding strikes and understanding work stoppage, which is very, very important when you're trying to negotiate. As a union organizer, you know, I realized there were not a lot of women. I think this was a new idea that all of a sudden that, okay, we're going to take an International Women's Day and we're going to turn it into a women's strike, which was amazing to me. But as a union organizer, and your experience, what do you feel that accomplished? I mean, what do you feel that idea brought across to our communities?
You know what I feel is that I personally have always honor March 8th as Women's International Day, and I'm aware of it. And so for me, but I've been in the social movement for over 40 years or more now.
I didn't realize you were that old.
I know, I'm realizing it now sometimes. But so for me, the reason I felt that this was very significant, this gathering of women on this particular day, is because there were so many women there. This was either their first, second time that they've been involved. And to me, and so they were even finding the significance that, oh my gosh, there's even an International Day of, you know, of women. They were surprised, and it was really, for me, I just love the fact that there are so many women that are coming out who have not been involved politically and being especially like in a demonstration. So for me, it is important that, this awareness that's going on right now, I feel among the women. So that's why for me, some women were a little disappointed in the numbers, and they said, no, this is perfectly.
One or more gather.
Exactly. And it was wonderful. And also just the fact that women were also doing what I would call, if you want to call it a strike or for us a boycott of not going to stores and go shopping and everything else. And I thought that was great that people were in so many different levels were doing it, you know. You know, and so I'm glad about the turnout, and I think it was good that it's a beginning, you know. I mean, this also had like a different twist. I don't think in the past we've had the celebration of March 8th as Women's International Day as a big gathering. People, it kind of, it's more like an individual.
Yeah, it's a day.
That day that you and I say, hey, happy, you know, International Women's Day and all that. But this time it was a gathering of women, and that was, to me, was very powerful. The message that was sent out. And it was not, remember, here in Santa Rosa. That's what we had. But this was an international day. I mean, all over so many different countries, all over so many different states, there were incredible gathering of women.
You know what's amazing, though? I've been following the media and how little was really told. I mean, you know, people don't realize how amazing it is, public radio, like our station here, that we can report these things. But I was watching the main media, the main circuits, and I didn't see half as much information or half as many rallies. I mean, there's actually very few, and I know there was some pretty big gathering. Well, you know, you talked about, you said that you noticed at the march that there were first-time women that were marching. Why is it important, do you think? Why is it, just looking from the union perspective, why is it important for people to come out? What is the message when they do that?
Oh, well, of course, because, you know, we don't have, as the ordinary folk out there, we don't have the money that the 1% has, right? But we certainly have the bodies. And once people have this awareness, they start getting politically aware, then they realize, oh my gosh, I can make a difference. Even one person, if I go out there, I can put my little grain of salt and really start making, like we say, this big pile. And what happens is that people start realizing, especially in this case, the women start to realize, oh, I do have power. I do have power. And even though I'm just one person, when you gather around with so many other people, you do start feeling, sensing that beautiful power of women, you know, coming together.
Well, you know, when we came together with Gloria Steinem, and I think you heard at the beginning when that woman said that she couldn't come because she was pro-life, it really, the fact that she had the courage to come up to the mic really inspired something in me, that how can we come together? Because we're all saying the same thing. We want a good life, a good world for our children. But it has to be from the time the egg and the sperm comes together all the time when they put you in the ground. I mean, you have to take care of one another. Well, we're coming to the end of our segment, Alicia. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything you'd like to tell our listener and audience? You know, you always come from the heart, so just whatever you feel is important.
Well, no, you know, one thing that I really feel that during this whole period in our time right now is that one of the things is always, we say, love each other. You know, one of the things I tell workers when I was organizing them, I would say to them three things that, you know, I said, you have to love each other. And they kind of go, oh my goodness, who is this person telling us that we got to love each other? But I said, that is really key. And then, but also key, I said, is a second thing. And that is that we must accept each other's differences. So that if someone makes a situation, I said, some of you are going to be here doing union work for hours and others will never even show up, maybe only to the meetings. It's okay. Let's not go against each other. This is the same thing I would say to women right now and to others right now. It is to love each other, to accept each other's differences, you know. So if somebody's making a phone call to your representative, that's really valuable. And another person's out there marching, that's valuable. Let's not go against each other, you know. And thirdly, if you make a decision to stay to get on this struggle of life or whatever to help the struggle of fighting for justice, peace, and equality, then you gotta stick with it. Don't view it that it's a one thing and that's it, I'm done. But view it as we're in a marathon and we're here and we are just gonna put our little grain of salt whenever we can and just continue and have faith that your contribution is going to have an impact for the good of the whole. And so I would say that would be my little thing of saying. And I'm really excited to see so many people come forward and really care for each other. Really care for each other. And I see that as just a beautiful thing that's going to happen for us, you know. Especially some of us who've been here and we've seen this over and over and yet we keep going. And so I love when I see new, as they say, new blood, new awareness, new politically conscious people coming forward and being regenerized. And I really am happy about what I believe it or not, I'm very hopeful.
Well, you know, Alicia Sanchez, I want to thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces, and you are such an inspiration and such a good example, I mean, of putting yourself on the line and doing the best you can for not only for your people, for every, all people, because that's what unions are all about. I mean, my dad was a union worker, and I know what it meant to him. So I want to thank you. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You've been listening to Alicia Sanchez, who's the president here at KBBF and also a former union organizer, and also was at the Women's International Day on Wednesday and marching with all the women here in Sonoma County. And I'm just amazed that over 400 women showed up. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and I'm going to play another one of my favorite songs, which is a suffrage song. It's called Standing on the Shoulders, and we are going to talk about a woman that we have stood on the shoulders for a long time. We'll be talking when we come back with Martha Wheelock, writer, producer, director, and educator and producer of the film about the suffrage martyr, Inez Milhoun. So let's listen to Standing on the Shoulders by Earth Mama, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Martha Wheelock.
I am standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before me. I am stronger for their courage. I am wiser for their words. I am lifted by their longing for a fair and brighter future. I am grateful for their vision, for their toiling on this earth. Standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before us. They are saints and they are humans. They are angels, they are friends. We can see beyond the struggles and the troubles and the challenge. When we know that by our efforts things will be better in the end. By their passion for our liberty, I will stand a little taller, I will work a little longer, and my shoulders will be there to hold the ones who follow me.
I'm standing on the shoulders of the one that came before me. What a thought. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. And without further ado, I want to introduce my next guest. On the phone with me is Martha Wheeler. Martha, welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And that's a very moving song and so true. And I'm just tearful from it.
Oh, I love that song by Earth Mama. And, you know, Martha, before we begin, I'd like to tell my listening audience a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Martha Wheelock is a writer, a producer, a director, and an educator. For over 40 years, Martha taught English, ethics, and women's studies in both high school and college. Martha loves women's history. To celebrate, some of the films are One Fine Day, Votes for Women, and California Women Win the Vote. And I believe you produced these shows. Am I correct?
Yes, and directed them, and yeah, all of it. That's what you do when you're an independent producer. You have to do most of it yourself. So, yeah,
well, it's wonderful, the contribution. And your latest film is the portrait of the suffrage martyr Inez Milholland. Martha holds graduate degrees from New York University, the American Film Institute. She is also on the board of the National Women's History Project, where these films are distributed. Well, welcome, Martha. Welcome once again to Women's Spaces. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, thank you for having me. And I think that my work as a filmmaker, a documentary filmmaker, independent filmmaker, is totally entwined with my personal life as an activist and as somebody who teaches as well. And it's wonderful to have a creative tool that lets that energy and those commitments spill out beyond myself. So I'm blessed as a filmmaker to be able to do that.
Well, you know, you're part of the National Women's History Project. You're on their board. You know, Molly McGregor and I went to Sonoma State together, and I remember when all this was born. And, you know, people forget, you know, they forget at one time that when you opened a history book, I mean, there was hardly any mention, if at all. I mean, maybe Amelia Earhart we learned about, but we did not know about the magnificent women that came before us and that whose shoulders we are standing about. So why don't you tell us a little bit why you feel that women's history in film is so important, and what has ignited your passion in this area?
Well, I taught in an alternative high school outside of New York City, and a student came to me one time and said, "You know, do you know anything about how we got the vote or any of those really?" And I said, and I was embarrassed because it had never been part of my educational career. I'm in my late middle, 80s. No, I'm not that old, but anyway. So I said, "Well, let's look at it." And so we formed the very first Susan B. Anthony Day, and that was way back in the mid '60s. So I learned from people who had questions about why have things been so slow? Why were there two columns, one for men and one for women, in the employment sections of the newspaper? And so as that has happened, as a teacher and as a person myself who's been curious, I realize I have a lot of catching up to do. And I just screened this film at the Pasadena International Film Festival last night, and people came up to me and said, "Thank you for letting us know about her. I never knew this story, and I will always vote." And it's like, you know, it's like the idea that we share this and spread the history and sing these songs of these eclipsed women who have given us so much, and they never get known until we embody them in our own work today.
Well, you know, you reminded me of something so interesting that we used to have in the newspaper: men's jobs and women's jobs. That doesn't exist anymore.
No, it doesn't.
No, that is so interesting. Well, anyway, you made a film about California women. And they won the vote in 1911, I believe, 9 years before the rest of the country. I didn't even know that. What were their tactics, and how did they win that so early? And how can people? I want a copy of that film. I want to see it.
Oh, great! Well, the Women's History Project has it, and I also have it on my website, wildwestwomen.org, where people can get information about both the Inez film and California Women Win the Vote, and many other films which I've done. But anyway, California women was the sixth state to win their right to vote. And when we won the right to vote in 1911, California was the largest democracy in the world where women could vote, because we had so many women here. And they were just small countries, or the other states were very small. And we were the prototype for the rest of the campaigns in the other states of our country, as well as the overall push for the national and federal amendment. And here we have this huge state, you know, all different parts, They used such wonderful tactics. They were the first branders. They were the ones that got into the press. By every day, they would send press releases, constantly keeping before the voters, the male voters who had to vote for our right to vote, the issue of voting. They wore buttons. They wore sashes. They planted sunflowers all over the state so that people would remember that there was, and put little tags on them. One of the great things they did was they took hot air balloons over the big cities and dropped leaflets and sunflowers down to the people below because they weren't allowed to picket and campaign in the parks.
Martha, I want to interrupt you here, and I want to ask you a question because it's very interesting what you're talking about, the sunflower. Because there's a woman here in Sonoma County during Earth Day, which she promotes sunflowers. Can you give us a little history of that sunflower? Because I think that is very important. Go ahead.
There?
Yeah.
The sunflower, of course, was that image that we have of our golden state. And it would grow kind of like a Johnny Appleseed. The women would plant these seeds all over, so that when people gathered them and they put them in all of their houses, that they were for voting. I guess that's about all I know in terms of it. But they adopted it as their cardinal symbol of that they wanted the vote.
Well, talk about now, you know, I mean, that's, I didn't even realize that. You know, I'm sitting here, you know, interviewing you, and I remember when I read the question, I thought to myself, God, I got to do some more research on this. This is amazing. Well, the next thing I'd like to kind of look at is, this is amazing, this film that you did on Inez Milholland. I remember when, you know, when I first got introduced to her, I know, you know, through not only just through women's history, but of course, Iron Jawed Angels, you know, all that went around, and you know, when she rode that beautiful white horse. Can you tell us her story briefly? You know, who is she, and what is the kernel of education in knowing about her?
Well, she probably would be called of a little more of the upper class, but she didn't wear that well. Her father was always into philanthropic issues and citizen political rights and whatnot, and he and Inez actually founded very early in the game the NAACP, and he built a house where up in northern New York State where he would take people who were orphaned and whatnot. So they were of that kind of wherewithal where they could advance political and social issues. And Inez was a very well-educated gal from Vassar. She tried to go on to law school, and they wouldn't accept her because she was a woman, until she finally was accepted to NYU and got a degree. And then she went to work for the Triangular Shirtwaist Factory strikers before that horrible factory fire. She did counseling for women so that if they had to go through a divorce or brutal beating. She was a lawyer for women right from the very beginning. She started some of the early New York State suffrage marches in 1910 and 1911. And then when she was appointed by Alice Paul to lead the big, huge march in 1913, the first march ever held in Washington at an inauguration day, mind you. Of course, we tried to copy that this current year. But she led the march, and she broke up the crowd of riotous men by riding her horse through them so that the women could continue. She was a real courageous heroine, and she was tall and beautiful, and so she kind of like belied the image that people had of women wanting the vote, that they weren't these dowdy old, you know, masculine looking women. They were educated, and they knew something about wanting their rights. And so when she was sent out as a great hero to the West Coast to get the women who could vote, i.e. California women, to vote against the Democratic Party, Woodrow Wilson, who was against suffrage, interestingly enough. The Charles Hughes character, Republican, was a supporter of women's suffrage. So the women thought that if they could get people to not vote for Wilson, they would put some power into the hands of the voters out west here, the women voters. And while she was campaigning, and she was the archetype for the great suffrage leader, beautiful, and people would come just to see her. They wouldn't even care if they listened. The men would come. And you have to remember that it was men who voted for our right to vote. So that anything that could get them to be involved in the issues would be handy.
Can I ask you a question here? You know, in Iron Jawed Angels, they brought out the point that we only got the vote by one vote. Was that true?
Oh, that's the ratification. That's way back. That's in 1920, the ratification of the amendment.
Right.
That was in Tennessee. And if Tennessee hadn't given us that last state of ratification, it would have had to continue to go on and on. But it clearly passed the Tennessee legislature by one vote. A young man by the name of Harry Burns voted because his mother sent him a note and said, "Do the right thing, Henry," or Harry, I guess his name was. And so that's
mother power, huh?
One vote. But you know, in California, we won the vote here by 3,000 votes over the whole state, which was one vote per precinct, where the men had enough courage to vote for the women. Here in California, it was a very, very, very close election for us here. And then just to go back a minute for Inez Milholland, who campaigned for the women of the West to vote against Wilson, she did 50 speeches in 9 states in less than 30 days. She was always speaking, and she drew great crowds. And she developed pernicious anemia. They tried to treat her with transfusions and whatnot, but they didn't know anything about blood type or anything. She succumbs here in Los Angeles, and fell at the podium giving her last words.
Aww.
"Mr. President, how long must women wait for liberty?" She dies about 28 days later at the age of 30. And again, an unsung hero who then inspired the great picketing of the White House, the great imprisonment of the women picketers, the force feeding, and everything that followed from her death. And I think that women, her comrades in arms, as we would say, rallied around that death and said, "Okay, if somebody's going to die for my right to vote, I'm going to be a picket. I'm going to be a marcher. I'm going to be a campaigner." And that's what turned the tide.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because, you know, I've recently become president of the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County branch, and we had our 50th anniversary, and we showed the film. And after it was over, first of all, I was stunned because I didn't realize all that went on. It was such a beautiful film, and she was such a beautiful woman. But
yeah.
I just cried. I just said, "My God, look what women went through to get the vote." And it's so stunning to me when oftentimes women will stay home, and I hope in the 2018 election that we come out in masses and make sure that there's some changes made. Well, what in your opinion, what is current about the suffrage movement today? You know, I mean, here we have, like, I played that song, Standing on the Shoulders. We're standing on the shoulders of so many great women. How do you feel the movement is today? What does it look like, and what are some of the issues that are still applying?
Well, certainly the fact that if you don't find your voice and you don't do something, as the suffragists did, as we demonstrated in January 21st, 2017. In fact, the New York Times had a whole report about the wonderful marches all around the world for women's rights, but for the issues that women face. There was a great, huge picture of Inez Milholland on her white horse as the lead picture of the report on the women's marches. That's one of the things that they do. We have to embody what energy was given to us from the past. The issues are the same. The issues are of mother and children, and nurturing and making the society equal. The kind of issues that women must always be involved with: education, fair housing, things that were the issues of the suffragists. That's how they were able to combine all the women, saying, "Don't you want pure milk? If you want pure milk, we've got to have the vote. We've got to vote for certain kinds of protections." Women see these laws as protections rather than regulations. And I think that the vocabulary and the way that we frame our arguments has to be, have to be really clear that we are, we have this interest in a country and in a society that supports all people and gives them the dignity of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And
you know,
those are the same issues that the women fought for in the suffrage movement.
What a great point you made, that women will say protection, where men will say regulations, you know, protection, because
yes,
we're always thinking of the children, the future, all these different things, you know, and it's just amazing that we've been regulated to second-class citizens. It just blows my mind. Anyway,
yes,
Martha, we're almost coming to the end of our segment, and I have one last question to ask you, and then any last thought you have, and please give your website. Why do you think, what is it that makes it so important for women to get out and march and let their voice be known?
There's nothing like a march to make you feel like you are participating in your democracy. And when women don't vote, we are losing some of the great points of view. When women aren't allowed to be in STEM, when women deny themselves their full range of talents by saying, oh, well, if I can do that, I'm just a woman. You know, all of those things. And I think our society is so much better when we have equal representation and we give these great qualities of nurturing and fairness and caring and compassion back to the society. That's why a march is good. It makes you, I think that nobody comes away from it without feeling a little bit more agitated and activated. And it's been wonderful to see how many people who've never been involved in marches or in protests are now gathering to the fore and being there. People say, oh, I've never been to a march, I don't think I would go downtown. But then they do, and they're changed. They're changed forever.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know, participation makes you feel more alive, you know, more vibrant, more. And everybody, I believe most people need to feel they have a purpose. And what better purpose than love and light and taking care of the future of our children and our planet? I mean, I can't think of anything better. Well, Martha, why don't you give us your website again? And also, I really want to thank you so much for serving on the National History Projects Board. I mean, that's just amazing, the fact that it's been
a wonderful group.
It's been around for so long.
Women's History Month, and people can just go to that website, which is nwhp.org, and get some materials for your showing. If you would like a free copy of Inez Milholland, Forward into Light, you can go to Inez Milholland, all one word, INEZMILHOLLAND.org, and enter your name there. There's a place to just order it, and I send it out within a week. And you, too, can celebrate Inez Milholland's the centennial of her death.
But what a great gift to bring to young people, young women in the high schools and junior high schools, to let them know.
Yeah,
I mean, this is
had,
a... So give it...
I made sure that everybody could get a copy. I've distributed over 5,000 of them around the country right now so that people would learn this history and spread it.
Can you give your website just one last time?
Okay, Inez Milholland, INEZMILHOLLAND.org.
Well, I want to thank you, Martha Wheelock, for being a guest on Women's Spaces and for such an inspiring interview. And I want to wish you all the success in the world. And I really want to encourage my listeners to get one of those DVDs and show it. Show it to your women friends.
Yes.
Show it to your children. Donate one to your high school or your junior high school. It's very important that we know our history. Thank you so much, Martha, for being
for
on Women's Spaces.
Happy Women's History Month.
Yes, definitely. And thank you. Thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces. Well,
thank
folks,
you,
that's it for our show. Special
Bye.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, folks, that's it for our show. A special thank you to Alicia Sanchez, President of the Board of Directors for KBBF, for being such a great guest. And also a special thank you to Martha Wheelock, writer, producer, director, educator. Her latest film is The Portrait of the Suffrage Martyr, Inez Milholland. Remember, the children are the future. We must never lose sight of that. And by our silence, we give our consent. So do not be afraid to speak out against injustice. This is Elaine B. Holt, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Woman in your life.